If you have your Bible, go ahead and take it to Luke chapter number 16, Luke chapter number 16. And as Pastor said, thank you so much for all of those that have reached out to me. It's been a blessing. I know Pastor talked a little bit this morning about y'all being welcoming. And, you know, I was definitely welcome the first few times I came, and just this time being here for, you know, the foreseeable future. Y'all have been just a blessing. People inviting me over. I was greeted in the place where I'll be working a little bit with mounds of snacks and envelopes and stuff like that, just cards, and some of y'all just trying to be a blessing. I really do appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to what God has for us, what God has for this church, and then as well what God has for us tonight. So I'm going to just really preach a burden on my heart, something the Lord's worked on my heart about. And as Pastor preached this morning, as I've prayed about what to preach, I believe this is what God would have for us. So Luke chapter number 16, and we'll start in verse number 19. The Word of God says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple, in fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his feet, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, there is between us and you a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." I'm going to preach really a message that sobered me, a message that's on a serious topic, the topic of hell tonight. And I believe that the Lord has just led in this, one, to give us a conviction that we need to tell people about Jesus Christ. It's amazing to look around at what's going on, and there's so many distractions, so many things politically, so many things going around, and we're focused on this battle and this battle and this battle. But in reality, the most important thing that we can do as Christians is reach the lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The title of the message tonight is really not original with me, but it's something I've heard and I've kind of taken, is the cries that can't be silenced. Cries that can't be silenced. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we love you. We're thankful for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, as we look at your word tonight, we're thankful for a Savior. We're thankful for Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us a burden, Lord, that we would be set on fire, Lord, for you. Lord, to reach the lost world for Jesus Christ, Lord, and to serve you. And God, that many souls will be brought to glory, Lord, by your grace and by your power. Lord, we love you. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. On the topic of the cries that can't be silenced, I'll tell you a little bit of a story. It was a few summers ago. I was working at a summer camp at Bill Rice Ranch, and I had a blast there. I think it was my third summer. And it came to the end of the summer. We were playing just some staff games, different stuff, hanging out with the counselors and the operational staff. And the week before, we played a kickball game. And I remember I rounded second base when we were playing kickball, and I slipped on the base, and I remember feeling a little bit of a pain in my knee. I was like, all right, whatever. It's probably not a big deal. I think I wore a wrap the next week just to be careful, just to be safe. And it was another week. We had a big night with all the staff. We were playing all these games, and of all things, it was dodgeball. You know, of all things, I'm scared of dodgeball. Just kidding. But I remember we were playing dodgeball, and I had the ball, and I went to throw it at somebody, and right as I threw the ball at somebody else threw a ball right here. And what I did is I tried to miss it, so I twisted my leg like that, and I felt a pop. In excruciating pain, I fell on the ground. I dislocated my knee, and I remember just sitting there, and if you know me, when you get to know me a little bit, you'll find out I like to joke, and I was just making jokes and stuff, and the ambulance came, and they took me to the hospital, a whole long ordeal. I remember they said, we're going to do a CT scan, and they said, just to make sure we don't have to cut off your leg. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. And they're like, no, we're serious. And I was like, okay. And I was like, it should be okay. It's probably not that big of a deal. They took x-rays to make sure nothing was broken, and I was in a good bit of pain. I remember my kneecap was on the bottom of my leg. It was probably the weirdest thing I had ever felt in my life. And, you know, to me, it's funny to look at and laugh at. I got a picture and all these things, and to me, it's a funny story. But at the end of the night, when finally they did all the CT scans and the x-rays and everything like that, they said, okay, we're going to try to pop it in place. I said, okay, I'm ready for it. I've had medicine at this point. I'm just waiting for them. And one doctor comes in the room, and he brings a sheet and pulls it around my chest. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? Another doctor came in the room, and he grabbed my left leg. I was starting to get nervous at this point. Another doctor came in and grabbed my right leg, and then another doctor came in and started pushing on my knee. He was pushing my kneecap, trying to get it back in place. And man, I remember it hurt real bad, and they said, we can't do it. We can't get it back in place, so we're going to have to knock you out. Okay, whatever, just get it back in place. It was probably at that point like 1 or 2 in the morning, and the camp director was with me. So they give me the medicine, and they say after I was out, they told the camp director, they said, sir, we need you to step outside and just remember, he's not going to remember anything that you hear. And the doctors came in and they popped it back in place. And he said he could hear the bones scraping. And then he heard me sit up and yell as loud as I could. And I remember I saw him about a year or two later. He looked at me and said, Arthur, I will never forget the way you yelled that night. You know, that's a light story and a light topic. But I pray tonight as we look at the cries of hell that can't be silenced, that we'll think of some cries that we just can't forget. We'll think of some things that the Word of God says about those who are spending an eternity in the lake of fire, and we just won't be able to get it out of our mind because we have to tell somebody about Jesus. It was A.W. Tozer who declared that we won't spend but 5 minutes in eternity before we'll begin to weep, wishing that we had told somebody else about Jesus Christ, just wishing that we had preached the gospel one more time, wishing that we would have done something more. Many of you have probably heard of Jonathan Edwards. He preached the old sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and he prayed, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. What he was saying is, Lord, give me a burden to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was saying, Lord, forgive us for the times that we focus so much on the superficial things of this world, for the things that are temporal that will just pass away, and help me to focus on that which will matter for eternity. And I pray that us as Christians, that myself, that pastor, that you sitting there, that you would have a burden to tell the lost, that you would get on fire for God, that this message would imprint something, that you would focus on eternity. When we stand before our Savior, what will matter? When we stand before Jesus Christ, what will matter that 2020 was a weird year and that, you know, some things were canceled and stuff like that, or that we won some people to Jesus Christ and that because we shared the gospel with them, that they would go to heaven? There's one thing I want you to get from the sermon tonight. There's one thing I want us to leave with, is that we must focus on eternity. Topic of hell tonight, it's sad, it's sobering. It's not fun to preach about. But it's important for us to think about. It's important for us to realize just what's at stake for somebody who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, realize tonight that hell is a real place. It's not a curse word, it's not something to joke about. It's a real place. And you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior if you want to escape hell. And to us who are saved, people are dying and going to hell literally every single day. And what have we done to reach them? Tonight we're going to look at the three cries from hell that can't be silenced. First of all, there's the cry for mercy. If you'll look at verse number 24, Luke 16, verse number 24. The Bible says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Now this story is not a parable. this little chap part of the Word of God. It's not just a made-up story. It's not just a figment of our imagination. This story is a real account. It uses specific names. It says that it was a certain rich man. This was an actual account that Jesus Christ is telling us about. And this was a real person. And he's crying out for mercy. Realize tonight that hell is a place of judgment. Hell is not a place where people will go and drink with their buddies and party with their buddies. And I've heard people say, you know, oh, that's fine. I'll go party with the devil in hell. That's not the truth. Hell is a place of judgment. Hell is a place of punishment because of mankind's disobedience to God. Think of a cry for mercy. Have you ever cried for mercy? I have some siblings and my older brother. I remember when he was doing some stuff with some friends, learning a little bit of UFC and MMA stuff. And I remember he would come and he'd practice on me when he got home. I remember him putting me some holds, some arm bars. And I remember crying out for mercy. Hey, stop, stop. That hurts. Hey, stop. That's enough. I remember he would put me to the point where I would cry for mercy. You know what? Those that are in hell tonight, they're not screaming for a party. They're not screaming for their favorite football team. Hey, they're not jumping up and down excited about the party or about whatever is going on. No, they are crying out for mercy. This cry for mercy is serious. This cry for mercy is aimed at the God of heaven because they are experiencing a judgment that will never end. And friend, if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never been born again, I hope that you understand that hell is not a good place. It's a place where you will be judged for eternity because you've sinned, you've done wrong against a holy and perfect God. Matthew 25:41, talking about hell, he says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Revelation 20, verse number 14 and 15 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whomsoever was not found written in the book of life," talking about those that are saved, "was cast into the lake of fire." Matthew 25:46 says, "And these shall go into everlasting punishment." Hell is a punishment. Hell is an awful, horrible place where people will be dying and be burning alive for years and years and years and for eternity and for eternity and for eternity. And there is no way out. Hell is a horrible, awful place. And look, we don't preach that tonight so that you'll be scared. We don't preach that to say, oh, you need to turn to Jesus just because you need to be scared or because you need to do this or because you need that. We preach this tonight to warn you that if you have sinned against a God, which the Bible says, for all have sinned against God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that all liars, all unbelievers, all those who have disobeyed what Jesus Christ has said will be cast in the lake of fire. It's not a good thought. It's not a happy thought. But it's the truth. And we tell you tonight not to scare you, not just to say some nonsense, but to warn you of what the truth of God is. This punishment is meant for those who disobey God. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9 says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Hell is a real place because God must judge sin. God must judge our disobedience. God must judge the iniquity and the transgression and the wrongs done by man because God cannot have any person who is not perfect in His perfect heaven. Because God will not allow fellowship with Himself who is perfect, who is pure, who is unspotted from the world, a God who has never sinned, He will not allow sin into His heaven. The tragic thing is about hell is it's a judgment that will go on forever. It's a judgment for our sins. You think I'm not that bad? The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. Realize the standard isn't good or bad. The standard isn't, are you good enough or are you bad enough? The standard is God's perfect righteousness. The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. Every single person in this room falls short of the perfection and the righteousness of God. And for that reason, because of our disobedience, we all deserve hell. I know the majority of us here today who have accepted Christ as their Savior, we know that Jesus Christ has died for us because that punishment that we deserved, Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross for our sins and He took our place. He took our punishment. And most of us here tonight would be able to say, amen, God has done that for me, and we would be thankful. But what about those who have never put their faith in Jesus Christ? Those who have never asked Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sin and to give them eternal life, they have this punishment waiting for them. Are you 100% for sure tonight that your sins have been forgiven? Hell's a real place. This judgment is serious. This is not something good to think about, like I've said. But God's law demands punishment for our sin. But thank God that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin. Thank the Lord that Jesus Christ came, and the Bible says He became sin for us, that when He came to earth and He died on the cross, He took every one of Arthur Acosta's sins upon Himself. He took every one of your sins, every one of your wrongdoings, every one of your failures upon Himself and died to pay the punishment so that we don't have to pay the punishment. Thank the Lord that Jesus Christ took our place. It's pretty amazing that a perfect, holy Son of God would die for worthless sinners. It's almost too good to be true. And Jesus Christ died for our sins, and now He offers to us eternal life. Jesus Christ offers to us forgiveness, and the Bible says it's not about working to get to heaven. It's not about doing all these good deeds to have eternal life, to be allowed into heaven and to escape the fires of hell. But it's just about believing on Jesus Christ than what He has done for you. Like I said, it's almost too good to be true that Jesus Christ will offer us salvation freely. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace. We're saved through faith. It is through your belief on Jesus Christ. It's a cry for mercy. Because the person who is being judged, the person who is being punished for their sin against God, they're crying out for God to stop this punishment. But it will never end. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I beg you, believe on Jesus Christ. For those of us who are saved, how many of your friends, how many of your families, how many of your co-workers know the truth about what Jesus Christ has done for them? Or do they face an eternal judgment? First cry that can't be silenced is the cry for mercy. The second cry that can't be silenced is the cry of suffering. Look again at verse number 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I can't imagine tonight the horrors of hell. I can't imagine tonight the torment that goes on. But let me tell you, it's a place of horror. It's a place of no satisfaction. It's a place, the Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a place of fire, of darkness, of smoke, of screaming, of thirst. It's a place where you will remember this opportunity tonight to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you reject Him again, it is a place where you will suffer. It's a place of horrible punishment. Nobody here likes to be burned. If you like to be burned, you need some help. But I don't think anybody here has ever stuck their finger on a stove or on an iron and said, wow, it feels good. Nobody just keeps getting closer to the fire until they're in the fire because, wow, that just feels great. It's painful. It's agonizing. It's suffering. There's a cry that people are crying in hell, and it's not a cry just for mercy, saying, "Oh God, would you forgive me? Oh God, would you bring mercy? Oh God, would you stop this punishment?" But there's a cry for torment, a cry of physical, literal, real pain. Again, it's not to scare you, but it's to warn you. It's to give us a burden to understand what is really at stake, that we must tell people about Jesus Christ, because if we don't, they face this punishment. And we can look at all the problems in the world. We can look at those people that we don't agree with, those people that, whether it's in politics, whether it's in big cities doing the looting and the rioting and all this different stuff. And we can look at them and we can either say, "Man, I'm tired of this. I wish they would just stop." Or we can look at them with a focus on eternity and say, "I hope that they will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior." You can look maybe at somebody at work that you don't necessarily care for, maybe somebody you go to school with that you don't really like too much, and you can say, "Wow, I wish they would just be normal. I wish they would just do this." Or you can look at them with a focus on eternity that says, if they don't accept Jesus Christ, they face the punishment of hell. They face these cries that will never be silenced. An atheist once told William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he said, "If I believed in what you Christians say you believe about a coming judgment, and that an impenitent rejecter of Christ will be lost, I would crawl on my bare knees on crushed glass all over London, warning men night and day to repent of their sin and to turn unto Christ, who is their only place of refuge." Here's an atheist, a person who doesn't even believe in God. And he said, "If I believe what you said you believe about this hell, I would crawl over broken glass to tell people about Jesus Christ." Now, how often do we as Christians tell a lost soul about Jesus Christ? How often do we hand them a tract? How often do we invite somebody to church? What would we do to win a lost person to Jesus Christ? And what today are we not doing that we should do to win the lost to Christ? It's a horrible cry of suffering. It's a horrible cry of pain that will never be silenced forever and forever and forever. And I could literally go on forever and they would still be suffering. None of us want that for our family. None of us want that for close friends. What about your coworkers and your classmates? Those you see on a daily basis, have we told them about Jesus Christ? Or have we not cared enough to tell them about Jesus Christ? I believe that often we don't really treat hell as a real place. We understand it up here, we know, and we say, "Yeah, I believe hell's real," and we say, "I believe what the Bible says," but we don't believe it in here enough to tell the lost about Jesus Christ. I'm preaching to myself that there's far too often, far too many times where my focus is on what's going on today, where my focus is on what I need to do this week, what I need to do next week, what I'm going to eat for dinner, what I'm going to do this, what I'm going to do that. We have that focus way too often when we pass people by every single day instead of thinking, this person needs to hear about Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I wonder if that person's on his way to heaven or if he's on his way to hell. Thinking that one day this person will have a cry that will never be silenced. The pastor preached this morning about being on fire for God. You know, too often we're cold and distracted from thinking about eternity. And tonight we need to ask God to help us focus on eternity. Tonight we need to have a passion to win the lost for Jesus Christ, because we're on fire for God and because we love what God loves and because we care about His creation, because we care about those who are lost and dying and going to hell. The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all would be saved. Do we care about it like God cares about it? Or do we go through our daily lives never thinking about eternity? There's a cry for mercy. There's a cry of suffering. And lastly tonight, there's a cry for a soul winner. Look at verse number 28. The rich man is there suffering in hell. He says, "I'm tormented. verse number 27. So then I said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. The reality is tonight that there are people in hell who are crying for us Christians that they never know, that they may never meet, to tell a loved one about Jesus Christ, to tell a friend about Jesus Christ, because maybe they joked about it on earth, maybe they didn't think it was real on earth, but one day they woke up in hell and they realized that if somebody doesn't tell my family, if somebody doesn't tell my friend, then they will end up in this place too. Who do you need to tell about Jesus Christ? Who do I need to tell about Jesus Christ? Who do we know that maybe they have a family member who's just crying and praying for somebody to tell their loved one about Jesus? Cry for a soul winner. For it is said that some people believe that the most fervent prayer meetings are going on in hell. People just pleading for somebody to tell their family member. Yet too often we just pass it by like it's no big deal. Too often we never give it a second thought to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. But real people are lost and dying and going to hell. You know, there's a lot of important things in the world, but there's not much more important than whether or not somebody will spend eternity forever and ever in heaven or in hell. Do we care? How much do we care? You know, sometimes, if I'm honest with you, myself, sometimes I care a little bit to hand out a tract. Sometimes I care enough a little bit to say, hey man, you should come to church. I go to church here. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it doesn't even cross my mind. And my prayer needs to be, our prayer needs to be, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Lord, help me hear the cries that can never be silenced. God, give me a burden and a love for the lost that I would tell them about Jesus Christ, because hell is a real place. Will you witness? Will you hand somebody a tract this week? Will you tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Will we invite somebody to church? Or will we just go on not caring? Hell is a real place. Real people are going there. Somebody in your neighborhood. Somebody you go to work with. Those of you who aren't homeschooled, somebody you go to school with. Will we tell them about Jesus Christ? Memorize the poem, my last year of college, and it goes like this. The tom-tom stumped straight on all night, and the darkness shuddered around me. Like a living, feeling thing, I could not go to sleep. So I lay awake and looked, and I saw as it seemed this. So it seemed like I stood on a grassy sward, and at my feet a precipice broke sheer down into infinite space. I looked but saw no bottom, only cloud shapes, black and fiercely coiled in great shadow-shrouded hollows and unfathomable depths, and back I drew at the depth. And I saw forms of people moving in a single file line along the grass. They were heading to the edge. There's a woman with a baby in her arms and another little child holding onto her dress, and they were on the very verge. And then I saw that she was blind. She lifted her foot for the next step, and it trod in the air, and then she was over, and her children were over with her. Oh, the cry as they fell over. Then I saw more streams of people flowing from all quarters. All were blind, stone blind, and all made straight for the precipice edge. There were shrieks as they suddenly knew that they were falling. And tossing up of helpless arms, clutching at empty air. And some went over quietly, fell without a sound. Then I wondered with a wonder that was simply agony why no one stopped them at the edge. I could not. I was glued to the ground and I could only call. Though I strained and tried, only a whisper would come. Then I saw that along the edge there were sentries set at intervals. But the intervals were too great. There were wide and unguarded gaps between. And over these gaps, the people fell in their blindness, unwarned. and green grass seemed blood red to me, and the gulf yawned like the mouth of hell. Then I saw, like a little picture of peace, a group of people under some trees with their backs turned toward the gulf. They were making daisy chains, and sometimes when a shriek cut the quiet air and reached them and disturbed them, they looked around and thought it a rather vulgar noise. And if one of their number started up and wanted to go do something to help, all the others would pull that one down and say, "Why should you get so excited about it? You must wait for a definite call to go. You haven't finished your daisy chain yet, and it would really be selfish to leave us with all this work alone." There was another group. It was made up of people whose great desire was to get more sentries out. But they found that very few wanted to go. And sometimes there were no sentries for miles and miles on the edge. Once a girl stood alone in her place, waving the people back. But her mother and other people called and reminded her that her furlough was due. Can't break the rules. Being tired, she needed to change and needed to go rest for a while. But nobody else was sent to guard her gap. And over the people fell like a waterfall of souls. Poem's called "The Cry of Blood." Paints a vivid picture of what it's really like. Yes, there are some who are guarding the edge of hell, telling people that, hey, you must believe in Jesus Christ. There are people who are telling people and warning people and passing out tracts and telling their co-workers about Jesus Christ and inviting people to church. But there are far too many gaps where people are dying and going to hell because people aren't being told about Jesus Christ. Far too many like these people in the poem with their backs turned, making daisy chains, just focusing on what's going on in their life. There are others who are discouraging other people from going. That could be any of us. I'm sure there may be some who are doing a great job about telling people about Jesus Christ, that witnessing. But how often do we just have our back turned without a single care that somebody we just met, somebody we just passed by, or somebody we see on a daily basis is bound for hell? And Brother Matt Downs told me, he said, "I'll never forget that scream. I'll never forget you yell at the hospital." I pray that as we read these verses, that we would never forget the real punishment, the eternal hell, and the screams that are there, that we wouldn't forget it. And that we would choose today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives to tell those who we can. We may not reach everybody. People may mock. People may laugh. But if we really care like Jesus Christ, if we really are on fire for God, if we understand the real punishment of hell, we'll tell the lost how they can be saved by Jesus Christ. Wonder tonight, how much do you care? How much do I care? I'm going to preach and talk about being on fire for God and doing everything we can, Lord, to serve the Lord. That includes telling people how they can accept Jesus Christ and go to heaven. Really, tonight, there's two main points. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, hell is a real punishment. And unless you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and rose again for your sins, and you call out upon the name of the Lord, you will be punished in hell. And for us as Christians, who do we need to tell? Who do you know right now, a family member, a coworker, somebody you know, that needs to hear about Jesus Christ? We're about every eye closed.